Len, it's been crazy times up here in Chicago this past week. People are waking up to 54 and 55 degree temperatures. We've had our share of rain, heavy rain expected to tomorrow. And it's figured that through the course of the week, we're going to see over 3 inches of rain up here. The good news is we're supposed to be back in the mid to upper 70s all next week with not a touch of rain. But I have to admit, this first full week of September feels a lot more like the last week of October.
You can tell it seems like the season should be winding down with the FedEx Cup having been completed, but it's hard to feel, it's hard to envision the season ending when you haven't, when you've yet to have the U.S. Open and the Masters. So, you know, this has been a weird year all the way around, but it's going to stay weird for a little longer, I think. It's really a strange feeling.
You know, Len, you and I go back far enough to remember when former Western Golf Association tournament director Brian Fitzgerald used to say, if you want to end a drought in Chicago, just schedule the Western Open. But, you know, here we are this week. The Western Golf Association has their Korn Ferry Tour event in town, the Evans Scholars Invitational. And, you know, Nick Hardy didn't seem to mind. He said, I've played a lot of golf in high school and college up here in the Chicago area and some of this colder, wet, rainy weather, and he says there's probably a lot of guys on this tour that aren't used to playing in weather like this. So he goes, maybe it's an advantage for me, as he tries to represent the home fans here locally on the Korn Ferry Tour event.
You know, Nick is really a rookie, because he didn't earn his card last year, and he has had 4 top tens with this Korn Ferry Tour. I know those guys have to wait till the end of 2021 to find out who the 25 are that automatically move up to the PGA Tour. Usually it's done at the end of each season, but because of all the schedule adjustments, that won't happen this year. But Nick has really kind of come on like gangbusters, and I think he's put himself in position to, by the end of 2021 now, he's got to keep playing well, but he can be a PGA Tour player. No question about it. He's done quite well.
One of the guys locally that we haven't talked a lot about is the local that's really in contention. Brad Hopfinger is in third place, tied for third at 9 under par, and he's doing the best of the locals here this week.
You know, Brad has been around a while on that tour. He is one of the only 10 players who have titles in both the Illinois State Amateur and the Illinois Open. And he's hung around, and he's really had to fight hard to hang on the Korn Ferry Tour. This may well turn out to be the best tournament he's had. You know, his stick-to-itiveness has been excellent. Like Vince India, he came out of the University of Iowa. He could play on the Korn Ferry Tour as long as he has. Is an accomplishment in itself, but then it's time for a breakthrough for Brad, and this could be the time he gets it.
Be interesting to see how it all comes together over the weekend. Heavy rain, as much as 2 inches total accumulation expected during round 3, as we're almost starting to get close to darkness closing in today. There's still 3 holes of full of groups on both nines out there at Chicago Highlands Golf Club this afternoon, and yesterday they blew the horn right about 7 o'clock because it was getting dark. So I assume that, again, at least 2 of those groups on each side should finish. But it's going to be a photo finish again like it was last night, where 1 group on each side. Both groups actually teed off but were not able to finish the hole. So hopefully they do get it in today. You don't want to see anybody have to come back to hit a chip and a putt to realize they've missed the cut, and then they have to go home. Sunday is supposed to be nicer, but we'll have to see how they can fight their way through a very wet and soggy expected round 3 at Chicago Highlands Golf Club.
Some sidelights that are kind of interesting here on the pro tours. They at least got a pro-am. It was not very well publicized or anything, but they did get a pro-am in, I understand, over at Chicago Highlands. And on the Champions Tour, they actually had spectators for the first time on any of the pro tours. So that they have a tournament out in South Dakota. Look on spectators there. So hopefully we're kind of making a breakthrough. I know there's still no spectators, not even on the Korn Ferry Tour. The PGA Tour didn't have them this week in California for the, seems like a weird thing to say, but it's their official opener of the 2021 season, the Safeway Open. So you know, it's going to be a confusing year. We're just going to have to eventually write it off. But just the way things turned out this year, it's with the pandemic, it's been strange. But, you know, at least they're playing.
Len, you mentioned Safeway, and it looks like one of our local friends, Doug Gimm, up here in Arlington Heights, attended high school in Buffalo Grove before college down at the University of Texas, is having a pretty good week and might make himself some money out at the Safeway Classic this weekend.
Yeah, Doug is, you know, this is his rookie season on the PGA Tour, and it has not been an easy one by any means. You know, he's poised right now to have a real, by far his best finish. So, you know, I've got to wish Doug well. You know, on the other side of the coin, the Safeway Open, two of our Illinois favorites, Luke Donald and D.A. Points, they didn't even come close to making the cut. So, you know, golf's a changing game. It can be, your game can be very fleeting. It comes and goes real fast, and it's good to see Doug. Doug's game seems to be working right now. I hope he can keep it up.
Len, where we're going to see some serious changes in a golf course, and, well, actually, elevation change is at the Elgin Country Club, and I had a chance to go out there and play the course for the very first time today, along with the communications and foundation manager, Palmer Moody, and we really realized how much up and down the hills that golf course is. There's going to be some places where guys are hitting shots from low spot in the fairway, and they're going to have to hit it up, you know, 60 or 70 feet over their head to get it up to some of these elevated greens. And I think it's really going to make some interesting challenges, especially in a match play event. Now, the golf course is not very long. The tips play out at under 6,500 yards, but with all those hills that are out there, and some of the fairways, only a couple of them are a little tighter because of the trees. It's going to make for some interesting matches next week as the Illinois PGA tees off its third major of the year.
You know, I always thought that Elgin would be a nice mix for a big tournament. It's much different, much different there than the private or public, for that matter, courses that we have in our Chicago area. I mean, it's an extremely hilly place. I don't know that I can't, in my 50 plus years around, I can't remember a tournament of significance played there. The one thing that Elgin can claim, though, is that Megan Furtney, one of its members, now playing, I believe, at Duke, she qualified for the U.S. Women's Open last year. And that was quite an accomplishment because Chicago has had very few women make it into that tournament. So it's not like there aren't good players in the club's membership, but I think that the Illinois PGA guys are kind of in for a surprise when they get over to Elgin. I don't know that many of them have played there. I know that Garrett Chassard, who will be going for his third straight win, that's something that we all have to follow. That's quite an accomplishment if he can pull it off. He's not really worried about it because the match play situation is a lot different than a stroke play tournament. I mean, match play has been at Kemper Lakes for a lot of years in a row, but Kemper wasn't available for this year's tournament, so they switched it to Elgin. And I think it's going to be a refreshing change for everybody.
Illinois PGA match play next week, you know, at Elgin that we've been talking about. You know, if there was ever an event that you could see potentially, I think, a lot of upsets. This course sets up for, you know, it doesn't matter who, when the 2 seed is playing the 12 seed or whatever. I got to believe that the way that golf course plays and the current condition that it's in, it doesn't matter who the higher seed's going to be. I think that it might be one of those events where almost anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah, match play is a strange animal. It really is. It's fun to watch that event. I think it's probably a good idea also. It wasn't intended, but that tournament is held later in the year. You know, it's been a fixture in May for quite a few years at Kemper Lakes now. And, you know, it's a little too early to play a tournament then. The players are barely a major championship like that. The players haven't had a chance to really get their games in shape, especially the many club pros who aren't able to go south or find a warm weather climate for the winter. So I kind of like the idea, not only of the change in site for this year, but also for the change in date. I'm thinking that the Illinois PGA should give serious consideration to maybe making that major later in the season like it is this year.
Len, something that we touched on last week a little bit, and now more of the details really have surfaced as the formal announcement was made with the United States Golf Association, the USGA, sort of setting up a bigger size scale operation in Pinehurst, North Carolina. A lot of people don't know it, but the USGA has already been there for years, but they have a very small second-story office in a building in downtown Pinehurst, over the Pinehurst Deli, and only about 15 employees actually work there. But now they're going to have some of their championship team is going to be there. The testing facility will be built there. In addition to the USGA Museum will go down there, give an opportunity for more people to see all of that great memorabilia, and the work staff is expected to increase from about 15 positions up to about 65. Now, they may not have all of that facility up and running till 2023, but along with it, they did something that raised some eyebrows. They handed Pinehurst four or five more men's U.S. Opens, and they're not going to come every 10 years. They're going to come about every 5 or 6 years. They've done this out to the 40s and 2040s, that is, and the other talk is now that little by little, other courses are going to be announced, such as Shinnecock and Wingfoot and Oakmont and Pebble Beach, to become part of a U.S. Open rotation where these clubs are going to have a U.S. Open every 6 to 9 or 10 years. And, you know, good for those clubs. They're great U.S. Open choices. But I think there's one thing here that golf needs to remember. And one of the things that's really helped the sport of golf, and for example, the sport of tennis gets hurt. The sport of tennis only has one major out of its four in the United States, and it's in the same location every year, New York City. And there's no way to even really go to that event unless you want to prepared to spend a lot of money. And I think one of the things that helps golf is that these major championships, at least the U.S. Open and the PGA, move around the country. They expose the game of golf to more and more people. You don't have to go get a hotel for $400 or $500 a night and pay a $300 ticket to get in. That a lot of people can go to these championships and expose the juniors to the game. It gives the seniors a chance to come out and see top level golf in an affordable manner. And I would hope that down the road here that the U.S. Open is not simply played at the same 6, 7, or 8 courses forever and forever over the next few decades.
Well, two things about that. That was a huge announcement. I thought Pinehurst, the USGA, is giving a much more of a presence in Pinehurst. So there's two big things that come out of this, as far as I'm concerned. I think the announcement that they're going to do this is good for Pinehurst and good for the USGA. It's a win-win for both parties. Pinehurst is really, it's just a great place. They really do things right at Pinehurst. They've been doing things right for golf for a long, long, long time, and this is only another step forward. On the negative side, I think that you're right. The fact that I don't really have a problem with Pinehurst number 2 being a frequent U.S. Open site, but you know what? It can't help Chicago's bid to get the U.S. Open back here. That hasn't been at a Chicago course since Olympia Fields hosted it in 2003. You can say what you will about Erin Hills. It's not a Chicago course. It's in Wisconsin, not far away. They hosted in 2017. But I think that the new USGA plans will make it far more difficult for a Chicago area facility to ever get a U.S. Open back. And, you know, in the early years, Chicago was a regular site for the U.S. Open for many years. I mean, Medina's hosted it 3 times, I believe. A lot of the North Shore courses have been U.S. Open sites, and I think that's the bad side of the coin. I like the idea, as you do, that the U.S. Open moves around a lot. I just wish it had move back to Chicago at least another time or two in my lifetime.
Thing is that on the list of all the courses that people are talking about, being in this permanent U.S. Open rota, so to speak, there's nothing in the Midwest, and there's only one course out on the West Coast, and that's Pebble Beach. And I can't believe that, you know, I know that the Olympic Club is tied in with the PGA of America. Torrey Pines has got an upcoming PGA championship, but I got to believe that the USGA has got to find another location out west. And I also believe they got to find at least two locations here in the Midwest if they're going to do some kind of a deal where, I mean, whether it's Medina, Olympia Fields, Erin Hills, Oakland Hills, but somewhere here in the Midwest, there needs to be a, you know, site that the USGA is not afraid to bring a U.S. Open to. And maybe there's a little bit of a rotation there where it's going to be one course in the Midwest, and 10 years later it might be a different course in the Midwest, and 10 years later it's a different course in the Midwest. But hopefully they just won't do the same six or seven courses in a 6 or 7 year rotation over and over again in our lifetime, and got to hope that that changes. And, you know, the other thing is, too, Pioneer's a great area for championships. They do so much there. And, you know, to help make this deal work, the North Carolina legislature the other day passed and approved $18 million worth of incentives to help make this deal happen and get this stuff done. Something that, you know, if you put this on the table and my current state, your former state, Illinois, I'm not sure they'd know what to do with it. But anyway, you know, let's hope that the Midwest is not forgotten by the USGA.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, of course, on that. Although I'm an optimistic person, it's very hard for me to be optimistic about the possibilities of that happening, given the governmental seemingly lack of enthusiasm for helping out and just the fact of where such a tournament would go. I mean, I hope it happens. I hope it happens. But at this point, it's hard for me to imagine it materializing anytime soon.
Well, I got to believe some of the other U.S. Opens and amateurs will also go to the Pinehurst area. I think that a place like Peggy Kirkbell's resort, Mid Pines, Pine Needles, they now have a third Donald Ross course, which could be getting fixed up a little bit. Southern Pines Country Club is now under that umbrella. And when you've got a facility with three Donald Ross courses, you got to believe that the USGA is well aware of that. The Women's Open is coming there in 22, only 3 years after it hosted the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And you have to believe that other women's events, other amateur championships will find their way around North Carolina if more and more of the championship staff of the USGA vacates New Jersey and does move down to Pinehurst. A good part of the current office group will still be up in New Jersey, so it's not a complete relocation as some people had speculated. But again, a lot of the tournament group, the museum, testing facilities, there's going to be more access to all of that stuff in Pinehurst, and it'll be interesting to see in the next couple of years what the USGA's presence is like there once those new buildings are fully completed and up and running.
You know, it's a funny thing. I, of course, as you know, I'm a big believer in it. I think it's just great that Pinehurst has taken on an even bigger role in golf. An interesting parallel here, not quite the same thing, though. You know, the PGA of America is moving the bulk of its headquarters from near where I live here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. They're moving them to Frisco, Texas, and building courses there. And it's going to be, I think, another couple of years before you really see the effect there. There'll still be a presence here in Florida for the PGA of America. But, you know, they're planning on doing the bulk, I think, would be the way to phrase it. The bulk of their business, association business, out of Texas headquarters. We also have the Golf Channel moving out of Orlando and moving east. I thought that was a strange move. You know, so it costs a changing game. And, I'm not sure these moves are the wisest thing. I like the idea of Pinehurst, especially though. I think of the ones that the moves that we've seen so far. I think the use of the USGA taking on a bigger presence in Pinehurst. I think that's been the best of the lot so far.
Len, next week will be the U.S. Open, and it'll be interesting to see if the USGA has a lot more to say about what's happening at that time. Before we wrap it up for the week, anything else you'd like to cover?
Well, I tell you, I can't get over again. I kind of touched on this earlier, but the message I think we got to all get across right now is that this golf season, while it usually kind of hits a lull now, a climax by the FedEx Cup Finals and just some smaller PGA events getting started, this is such an unusual year. We've got a lot of great golf ahead. I mean, the LPGA is going to play two of its very biggest tournaments in the early weeks of December, even. I think that's a good thing. I think that the golf season, I always felt it could be stretched out a bit. But now I think that there will only be like a 3-week gap before the PGA returns to play in its Tournament of Champions in Hawaii in early January. So that's a positive, I think, to take from this year. I think that there's been a lot of struggling, a lot of real hard work just to keep golf going on the tournament side. The recreational side, it's been great. People are playing everywhere. They've really, in a lot of ways, appreciate golf more now than they had prior to the pandemic. But the tournament side, we've got a lot to look forward to yet.
Exciting tournament that will be played here next year, the Palmer Cup. It's not just a men's event anymore like it was in 2015 at Rich Harvest Farms, and it'll be back in Rich Harvest Farms next June. But this time the women are along for the ride as well with the guys. And I'll tell you this, the captains were just named, and I think we can talk a little bit more about that next week. But to my surprise, here we are in Illinois again, and none of the coaches from either in Illinois, whether it's the U of I coaches, the Northwestern coaches, you know, it's a College Coaches Association event. You know, we didn't even get any of the coaches named from, anywhere in the Big Ten area, anywhere in the Midwest area. So, I don't know, I was a little surprised last time when there wasn't some local influence, but if the Palmer Cup is held down south or out west, I wouldn't expect, you know, a Mike Small or a Pat Goss or an Emily Fletcher to be named there. But when we have the event here, you're getting coaches from down south and southwest, and a little bit of a surprise. And we can probably break a little bit more of that down next week. I know they've brought in good coaches, don't get me wrong, but I thought with the event here for the second time, we'd see some local influence.
Did I? I'm not just surprised, I'm disappointed. I think that's part of the Palmer Cup that they should have had. At least, you know, Mike and Emily, I mean, they've been fast. They're among the tops in the country. I would have thought that at least one of those three would find a place in that tournament. But again, that's a good event, the Palmer Cup, and I think I should add that adding the women's side to it, that's long overdue. So I think it's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it.
Volume 27 next week, and we'll really break down that U.S. Open as it gets ready to tee off. Talk to you then, Len.